haven't been here for a hot minute. We're getting back.
What do we do?
We did this again. This is what we did last time.
Hi.
We need to start recording every weekend.
I know.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how everybody.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
We're back.
I missed hearing our own voices.
Whoa. Welcome to Ghoul Society. That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations, and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
And we're back. We're back.
Do you
want to hear the story that I was saving?
Yes. Okay. Wait, I just saw your story
title. What the hell? Why did you do that?
I went to open it for you. Oh. Okay, I'm so excited. Oh my god.
Okay, well, Jamie just fucking spoiled herself. Jeez.
Okay, sorry. What was the story you were going to tell me?
Sarah, you don't even deserve my actual topic today.
Oof. What were you saving for the podcast? Tell us.
Okay, so it's really funny. Last night, Montana and I are sleeping. Duh. And we get waken up at 4:30 by this cat yowling. Oh. And we're like, we wake up. We're like, what the fuck? It doesn't sound like it's in, like, it doesn't sound like our cats.
Did it sound like Momo when she was kind in of. Heat?
Well, not really. Because Nala does that when she's in heat too. But it didn't sound like our cats. So we were like, did a random cat somehow teleport into our home? Like, what's happening here? Or is it outside crying, like, at our door?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, on the patio or something? And so we jump out of bed. We're like, what's happening? We get on some, you know, clothes. Yes. And then Montana opens the door, like, a little bit, the hallway door. And a cat just bolts into our unit. And he was like, that's a cat. And I'm just like, what? And I'm like trying to corral our cats away. But our cats are just like, what's going on? Like, they don't hiss. They didn't do anything, which is super surprising.
Yeah, and good.
This poor kitty just bolts in, is like hiding under our table, runs into our room. I try to grab it. It runs back into the living room. Our cats are still just like, hello, you're in the wrong home here, buddy. Montana finally grabs him, and I was like, oh my god, it's like one of our neighbor's doors is open because our neighbors upstairs have cats.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh, like, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
And so we walk into the hallway, and there's just another cat just sitting on the stairs looking at us like,
oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Like, almost as if it was saying to the other one, how embarrassing, like, I can't believe you just bolted into somebody's house.
Without
just, like,
knocking.
Sitting there. Yeah. Or, like, you were only supposed to ask them for a cup of sugar, not barge in.
Oh my god.
So we, like, chase the other cat up the stairs, and our neighbor's door was open.
What? Yeah. Okay.
And so we, like, shoved the kitties back in the door, and I closed it as quietly as I could because I didn't want to wake them.
Like, do I know the neighbor? Or, no. Oh, the neighbor above you.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
And I didn't want to, like, wake them up and have them think someone's trying to, like, break in.
Oh my gosh.
So I closed the door, and then we run downstairs, and I wrote a note, and I was just like, hey, your cats were in the hallway and your door was ajar, so we just shoved them back in there. Hope they're okay. It was like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my
and this
God.
Morning, Montana was like, oh yeah, what did you write on the note? And I literally was like, it could be gibberish for all I know. I don't even remember.
That's so funny.
And so then I texted them again this morning. I was like, hey, I left a note. at your door. Your cat somehow, like, your door was ajar.
Yeah.
They got out.
Oh, my goodness.
And they, like, came into my house.
That's crazy. That's so crazy.
But, yeah, she was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I don't know how, like, we were sleeping with the door open. But remember when we used to have the mat up there and then you'd go to close the door and it wouldn't fully close? Yeah, I think that's what happened, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. So I was like, that used to happen to us. So just, like, you know, it could happen. And then the cat could, like, pull the door open.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what happened at 4:30 this morning.
Wow. Oh, this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So this is fresh tea, fresh news.
And then I had to get up at 7:30 for therapy at 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's an early appointment.
Well, it's online, but, yeah.
Yeah, but still.
Well, it's either, like...
My brain would be like, oh.
It was either 8 or, like, 5 p.m. I was like, no.
Yeah,
makes sense. I like doing it in the morning.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, so...
Crazy.
That's what happened to me last night.
Amazing.
It was freaking bonkers.
Wow. Well, yesterday I was working on a textile project, and I watched like 6 hours of YouTube, and then I felt fucked up, and I felt like my dopamine was so fucked up, and then I was like, bleh, and I was like rolling around everywhere, and then Bristol made me go on a walk. But I also, yesterday, went on a 5K run.
Yay!
And it was my first 5K in a few years, honestly. And it was really fucking hard. And it was great. And I might on a little run today just to, like, just a slow little, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it was, it felt really good, but it also felt hard. But it was very satisfying. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, and I have other news.
What?
About my knee.
What
so
did you do to
have
it?
I told you in the past about how, like, if I'm, like, on
did
the ground.
Did it get
ground,
stuck again?
Yes. It's gotten stuck twice a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think I made it weirder by going to yoga for the month that I went.
Oh, no.
And so I went to see my physio.
Yeah.
Almost name drop there, sorry. Went to go see my physio, and he was like, yeah, so you probably have a tear in your meniscus, and it's never going to heal, and it's never going to go away, so you need to stop doing that.
Absolutely not.
I know.
No, he's bonkers crazy.
No, 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 he's right, because the way that your meniscus is shaped, there's like a thick part and a thin part.
Yeah.
The thin part doesn't have any blood vessels in it. The thick part can heal if there's a tear, but the thin part, which is like near the inside.
So you need surgery.
Yeah, but I don't actually, because he's like, it's probably just a small tear. What's happening when that is happening is that your meniscus is getting caught when your knee is trying to, I know, it's fucked. Huh? He showed me it with a diagram.
Ew!
Like a 3D thing, you know those?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I actually feel like even queasy right now, but I told him, I was like, this is making me so queasy, like, I just can't. So, yeah, what happens is the meniscus gets stuck, and then that's why my knee needs to, like, snap into place. And because I told him it's, like...
Well, can't that make the tear worse, then?
Probably. And he said that when that happens, if it's, like, really bad, because I told him that the pain has been so bad in the past that I've, like, blacked out, essentially.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, people usually have to go to the ER. And I was like, oh... That's cool.
There's no way.
But he did say, like, it's good because for me afterwards, like, the worst that has happened is that it's hurt for, like, a couple days. But often when that happens for people, it will hurt for, like, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, like, a little thing like, ooh, it happened and I popped it. No, like, it's kind of a big deal. So essentially, I just need to be really careful about putting pressure on my knee and, like, twisting and trying to avoid twisting motion. So... trying to be more, like, thinking about it without hyperfixating on it and just really paying attention to how I'm moving my body through space. But
I'm just confused as to why there's no blood vessels in that part of the
meniscus. I don't know.
That seemed wrong to me.
I know. So, yeah, he said if it happens again, it like, if it keeps happening and it gets worse, then yes, I'll have to get surgery. But he said, you don't have to do anything drastic. Like, you don't have to change anything drastic.
Yeah. Like, just, you can like, still keep running and shit?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally. Oh. You can do everything. He's like, right. just don't, like, go onto your knees on the floor with right. all of your pressure on your knees and right. then twist. Right. And I was like, yeah, true.
Oh, my Good God. Point. What the hell?
Yeah. So that's
Do you
my
ever
update.
Remember a time when you, like, were doing something and then your knee really hurt?
No, he said that it can kind of just happen over time. Like that kind of tear.
I hate our bodies. Why are they like this?
Well, exactly. And he was like, yeah, this is just wear and tear. And I was like, yeah, okay, so I'm getting
You're
old.
Literally 29. Yeah, that should be happening.
Well,
you're literally 29.
Okay, but also think about how much time I've spent working on my knees as a painter. Like, because I was thinking about that. Yeah, and then also, actually, I've always had bad knees my whole life.
Yeah.
And, like, it makes sense. Oh, my God. I don't know.
That's so scary. I'm so scared for you.
Thanks. Me too. I know. I'm trying not to be paranoid about it,
though.
Well,
at least it's just the one.
Yeah.
Not both.
Yeah.
That would be worse.
So when I think about it, when I think about the pressure and then twisting, I like get like grossed
okay
out.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for that segment of here's Welcome. What's Sorry. Wrong with our bodies.
Yep.
A brighter note, you ran 5k, I ran Woo-hoo. My first 5k
Woo-hoo.
Ever in my Yay. Whole entire life.
I know, so exciting.
Yay. And then I did it the next day again.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that was 2 weeks ago, and then I got sick, and then I got a tattoo, so I had to take too. Time off. And then I went on a run on Wednesday, and I felt like I was dying, and it was only 3 kilometers. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then Montana and I went on Thursday night. We went, like, 3.5, and that was a bit better. But I just need to work on my breathing a bit.
Yeah.
Because I just struggle with it, like, a lot.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
I think the best way to do that is to run without headphones.
Really?
Yeah, because then, like, you don't have something that's keeping you distracted. I don't know. You could try it. Maybe not.
But I feel like I can hear myself breathing.
Yeah.
While I'm, even with my headphones.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Like, internally. You know what I mean?
Yep. You could try it, though, and see.
Yeah.
See that. Yeah. I think it just takes time.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, this is a ghost podcast, so what's up?
This is a ghost podcast.
It is.
Okay, well, whatever. We're just gonna freaking jump into it now, because I know you're all waiting, and you were all upset that we didn't post last week.
Really?
Well, the week before.
People were upset?
Yeah.
They said something?
Yes.
Oh. Oh.
So, super sorry. We had family in town, and we just got caught up in visiting with our family.
Yes.
And
because we had a loved one passed. So, yeah, that's us guilt tripping you.
Jamie.
No, I'm just kidding. But, well, I'm not kidding about that, but... Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
I'm not guilt tripping you. I'm sorry that we didn't put out the episode and we weren't on top of it.
Yeah. And we're gonna do better about communicating.
What did people say? Fuck you!
No!
Oh.
Well, just... Oh, I kept refreshing my...
Oh!
I kept refreshing my podcast app and it never showed up!
Oh, no!
Sorry.
We're
you know,
so sorry.
Listener, you know who you are. I'm so sorry. We chatted about it, so I'm sorry. It's okay. She wasn't upset.
We're back.
She was just like... What happened? Are you guys okay? She was like worried about us.
Aww.
Don't worry.
Love you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So today
I'm so excited and I just can't hide it.
Because you spoiled yourself. I can't believe you did that. That's the first time you've ever done that.
I know.
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? I hate that song.
Today we're going to the place where a lot of people's nightmares stem from. And where the paranormal Estes method was created.
Ooh.
The Stanley Hotel.
Woohoo.
Woo.
And what's his face was writing there.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Okay.
What's his face? Located on the traditional territories of the Arapaho, Ute, and Cheyenne nations, the Treaty of Fort Laramie Territory and Session 426, the Stanley Hotel is revered to be enchantingly haunted. I couldn't find an exact date, but it's believed that colonizers arrived in the area around the early to mid-1800s as trappers and hunters. In 1851, a treaty between the U.S. government and the Cheyenne, Arapaho, and Lakota nations was made. Of course, this treaty was made to protect the group of colonizers heading west who wanted to establish a military presence on the plains areas.
Okay.
Yeah. The Cheyenne and Arapaho nations were reportedly given sovereignty over the Platte River Basin as long as they let white people come and go as they please. Mm-hmm. That was kind of their treaty.
Okay.
And then in the late 1800s, the Colorado Gold Rush made the treaty obsolete as white people took land that was supposed to be protected and used by these indigenous nations. And then we can guess kind of what happens next. All the white people came and killed them.
Stole the land.
Stole the land. And that's a little history about the land, Estes Park area, mm-hmm. where the hotel resides. So if we move forward a few years to 1903, a man named Freeland Stanley, a steam-powered car inventor, became ill with tuberculosis.
Oh.
During this time, fresh air was recommended as the treatment.
I'm so... going to the sea to cure my consumption.
So he was like, let's go to the Rockies in Denver, Colorado.
Hot.
Mm-hmm. In June, after the recommendation of his doctor, he moved to Estes Park, where his health drastically improved. Freeland Stanley invested in improving the roads to Estes Park after he lived there for a while. He also helped fund the first bank in the area, organized the water supply to the town by building the first hydro plant.
Hmm. What? First hydro plant ever?
In that area.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Donated land for the first sewer line for the city, helped form the gold course of that area, donated land for the garbage dump, and donated 54 acres that would become Stanley Park and Lake Estes.
Hmm.
So he became a pretty well-known figure in
How did
area.
He get the land?
He bought it off of this lord guy who stole it from the indigenous peoples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'll donate it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Bitch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know how it goes.
Yes.
History.
I do.
In 1906, he also served as the president of the Estes Park Protective and Improvement Association. So, it's pretty cool.
What? Sorry, I zoned out. The Estes Park...
Protective and Improvement Association.
Okay.
So, it's a national park.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. By 1907, he recovered from TB, and in the same year, construction on the Stanley Hotel began.
Wait, you can recover from TB?
Yeah, not everybody died.
Oh.
What did you think happened to them? Face.
I thought they all coughed up blood and died, like in Moulin Rouge.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not all of them.
Is it, like, I want to know a little bit more about TB, but is it also because they were in, like, these crazy, like, industry areas of, like, the Industrial Revolution, and so... There's a bunch of, like, smog and smoke and mm-hmm. grime and shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, literal human feces, and the water was bad, and then everyone was getting sick?
Pretty much. It's a lung infection.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
What it is.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And obviously now we use antibiotics.
Yeah.
But back then, they were literally just, like, you need...
To get out of the city and get fresh air.
Yeah.
And you're... Lung infection might heal, it might not heal.
Yeah, so that's why in a lot of the old TB hospitals, they had like sunrooms.
Yeah.
Where they would just roll the patients in their bed into these sunrooms and have like all the doors open, even in the winter, so that they could get fresh air.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Glad we have fresh air right now here on these lands.
I know, right? I think about that, too.
I think about that all the time.
Yeah. So, the hotel opened on June 22nd, 1909. It originally contained 48 rooms that catered to wealthy people, of course.
Wait, sorry. I need to go back to the TB thing for a second. Okay. It's a viral infection, right? So you can also get it from other people?
Yeah, they have to, like, cough on you.
Okay.
Or, yeah, it's, this is from Wikipedia. It's spread from one person to the next through the air. Cough, spit, speak, sneeze.
Okay.
Yep. But, you can also have latent TB, but people with latent TB don't spread the disease. So.
Right. Kind of like Mary Mallon.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, that's all. Just wanted to clear that up. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so the hotel contained originally 48 rooms that catered to wealthy people, with every room having a telephone, and each pair of rooms shared an ensuite bathroom with running water.
Wow.
I know.
Wait, what year was this? Sorry.
It opened in 1909.
Wow!
Yeah, they had running water.
Nice.
Because of the hydro plant that he made.
Genius.
Yeah.
Love it.
Pretty cool. And now the hotel has 140 rooms.
Wow. Would you go there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not right now, but yeah.
Yes.
Maybe if it ever gets better. At the time of the hotel's opening, Freeland Stanley had spent almost $500,000 on the hotel.
In 1909 money?
Mm-hmm.
How let, much me guess, do you let me guess, think let me guess, is? Let me guess, let me guess. $3.5 million.
More.
What? $10 million.
More.
No! What the fuck? $20
million? $17 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
The hotel contains 11 structures. So it's not just like the hotel, the Stanley Hotel is really just a piece of land with multiple structures on it. But it's all, you know, the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah, like different buildings, you mean? Yeah.
Okay.
But the main hotel now is like all one conglomerate, right? Because I've seen videos of people going there.
I think they're still separate buildings. I'll tell you.
Interesting. Okay.
But probably some of them have been connected. I don't know.
Hmm.
So they were all designed by Freeland Stanley with the assistance of architects Robert Weiger, Jenry Rogers, and contractor Frank Kirchhoff. Part of these structures, apart from like the main hotel, the manor house opened for the 1910 season. The concert hall, which was originally a casino, was completed alongside the main hotel in 1909, as was the carriage house, which was built to house the Stanley Mountain Wagons, owned by Stanley, that transported guests from the Lyons, Loveland, and Longmont train stations to the hotel.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So he was like, this is for rich people. I have these steam-powered cars, and my steam-powered cars are going to go pick up people from the train station and bring them to the hotel.
Wait, shit. A steam-powered car?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What the hell?
This guy rich.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of wondering how he got so rich.
From his steam-powered cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, Stanley Ford or Ford Stanley? Wait, what's his name?
Freeland Stanley.
Oh, so he's not Ford.
No. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
So, yeah, Stanley's car company provided a fleet of steam-powered cars called Mountain Wagons that would bring guests from the train stations to the hotel. In 1911, the hotel was said to be one of the only in the world completely powered by electricity.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Although, in June of 1911, a gas lighting system was installed due to lack of available power.
Yeah.
And on June 25th, an explosion occurred when someone went into a room. One of the maids, her name was Elizabeth Wilson, she went into a guest room to light the gas lamps.
Uh-oh.
And there was a leak in that room. Mm-hmm. And it was room 217, which is a very popular room. And she was thrown from the second floor to the ground level. And both of her ankles were broken, but she lived.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, okay.
And 8 other people were injured, but no one died.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like, was she thrown outside the building or just inside?
I can't really tell.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I think don't... inside, like she down was the thrown stairs.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to Elizabeth in a bit as well.
Yeah, gas ain't it.
No.
Gas also gives you weird brain damage over time, yeah, too. So,
yeah,
not great.
Yeah. In February of 1926, Freeland Stanley sold the hotel to a group of investors from Milwaukee. They made more investments into the hotel, such as expanding the electrical services within the hotel and Estes Park itself. Because Estes Park is a park, but it's also a town.
Okay.
I don't know why they called... I don't know. It's kind of a dumb name for a town, to be honest, but whatever.
I guess because it was a park at first, and then they, like, yeah, established it as a town.
But it is still a park, too, I think. Okay. Like Banff.
Yeah. Banff, yeah. Park town.
Yeah. Although, during this time, the hotel wasn't bringing enough revenue, and they began looking for buyers right away. But none came.
Wait, they just bought it?
They're like, yeah, this group of investors was like, we'll buy the hotel, put a little bit of more money into it. And then we're like, we're not making money. No one's coming here.
Let's sell it.
Then, during November of 1929, so 3 years later, Freeland Stanley bought it back in a foreclosure.
Oh my God.
Just before the stock market crash of 1929, 1930, that started the Great Depression.
Ooh, yikes. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, I'll buy it back.
But he didn't buy it to keep it. He bought it because he was like, you guys fucked my hotel up. Like the price of it.
Yeah.
So he was still looking for someone to buy it.
Okay.
Out. When a man named Roe Emery purchased it.
Fancy name.
Yes. Roe was from a rich family, and he was rich from his own transportation business called the Rocky Mountain Motor Company. So he bought it. He begins to update the hotel, adding private baths in each room with hot and cold water.
Ooh.
Replacing the lighting, redecorating rooms. And he even installed a steam laundry building.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But despite the upgrades, the hotel continued to lose money. And he sold it in 1946 to Abel Hotel Company from Chicago.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
Sellouts.
Yeah. Maxwell Abel, the owner of Abel Hotel Co., invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into the Stanley. The lobby was refurbished, a new heated pool was added, the roads were paved, roof repairs, and a kitchen remodel was completed, and more. Maxwell unfortunately passed in 1955, and his family business continued to manage the Stanley until 1966, when it was sold to a Colorado group with Maurice Albertson at its head.
Hmm.
And the hotel actually changed hands again and again and again. Until 1974, when it was bought by Frank Normally. At the time, the hotel and many of the outbuildings fell into disrepair, and a lot was done to fix it up, including the addition of heating in 1984.
Wait, there was no heating?
Mm-mm, it was only open during the summer months until 1983.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense why they were losing so much money.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's freezing their ass off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in the summer and the spring, like the spring and the fall, I feel like it would be kind of cold. Yeah,
so they were only open for like 4 months a year.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In 1995, the hotel changed hands again to a man named John Cullen and his partners at Grand Heritage Hotel Group, who bought it out of bankruptcy court.
Wow.
So it's just never done well.
No.
John is currently still the owner of the hotel. And it clearly was able to turn it back around because it's a very well-known destination. Pretty popular.
Yeah, which I'm sure you'll talk about this, but probably a big reason to do with that is because of The Shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that leads us right into my next part.
Yay!
Because in 1974, Stephen King and his wife spent a night in the Stanley Hotel. They were just kind of like on a road trip or something. Vibes. And they were just like, let's stay at this hotel.
Yeah.
And they were the last guests to stay in it because it was like shutting the next day for the winter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they were the only ones in the hotel. Yeah.
I know this story because I know that. Yeah.
So at the time, he was writing a book with the working title Dark Shine, which was set in an amusement park. But he wasn't fully happy with the setting or the book at all. According to interviews with Stephen King, after checking in, his wife Tabitha went to bed and Stephen roamed the halls of the hotel and went to the bar. On his way back to his room, his imagination was fired up by the remote location, the hotel size, and how isolated it was.
And alcohol.
In a 1977 interview, he recalled, quote, "Except for our table, all the chairs were up on the tables, so the music is echoing down the hall, and by the time I went to bed that night, I have the whole book, The Shining, in my head," end quote. In another article, he said of that night, quote, "I dreamed of my three-year-old son running through the corridors, looking back over his shoulder, eyes wide, screaming. He was being chased by a fire hose. I woke up with a tremendous jerk, sweating all over, within an inch of falling out of bed. I got up, lit a cigarette, sat in a chair looking out the window at the Rockies, and by the time the cigarette was done, I had the bones of The Shining firmly set in my head."
Great. That gave me chills.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I get it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I work the same kind of way.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, yep, this is what it is. Yeah. And I've got it.
As we know, The Shining was published in 1977 and became King's third greatest success.
Wow.
It's set in an isolated Colorado resort named the Overlook Hotel, which closes for the winter. And The Shining also became a three-part miniseries or TV adaptation, which was written and produced by Stephen King, who really didn't like Stanley Kubrick's film.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He hated it.
Wait, okay. I need to know the gossip on this because I know that his...
That is the gossip.
Wait, but so his film was filmed at the Stanley?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the... Like, Kubrick's film, The Shining,
yeah,
is filmed at the Stanley. It is.
Was it?
I'm pretty positive it is.
Do, 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 do. No, it was filmed at the Timberline Lodge.
What?
In Oregon.
Wait. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I made that connection.
Most people think it was filmed there, but it's not.
Okay. I guess because What's-His-Face wrote the book there. So yeah. Wait, why didn't he like the film?
Just think that he didn't do, like, it wasn't good enough.
It's so good.
So anyway, he made his own TV show about it.
I didn't know that. Okay, I want to watch
and it. And the TV show was filmed at the Stanley Hotel in 1996.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, fun fact for the hotel, between 2013 and 2015, it hosted the Stanley Film Festival, cool, which was a horror film festival held by the Denver Film Society.
That's so fun.
But I guess they don't do it anymore.
No.
Yeah. So that's that about Stephen King. Pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. I pretty know. Super cool. I love that.
Yeah. Moving on. I know that a few of you paranormal fans out there are thinking, Estes Park, that sure sounds familiar. And that's because the Estes Method, or Estes Method, was created at the Stanley Hotel and named after the park.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Who was the first one to do it?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
In an interview by Michelle Swap with Connor Randall, one of the co-creators of the Estes Method, Connor explains how it came to be. So Connor was interested in all things paranormal from a young age, and at 17, he began working at the hotel. Mm. Over the years, he became a history guide, a tour guide, and then as the Stanley became a place for paranormal investigators to go to, he became one of their ghost tour guides.
Ooh.
During this time, Connor and fellow investigators Carl Pfeiffer and Michelle Tate created the Estes Method, or a way to converse with spirits. Connor says the method was born out of some boredom and the need to innovate in the paranormal world.
True.
The three of them would often stay at the hotel once their tour investigations were done. And one night, Carl suggested that one person put headphones on and listen to the spirit box while the other two ask it questions.
Yeah.
After a few sessions, they decided to try noise-canceling headphones and a blindfold for the person listening to the spirit box so that there's no outside influence.
And that's how
the Estes method was invented. Connor says that, quote, "The Estes method is the best attempt that I can think of in modern day paranormal investigation to rid ourselves of confirmation bias. Mm. It places somebody in the location, but that person is blinded, hopefully not to what's around them because of the equipment, but to the stories that are around them as well, thereby making any results triply impressive," end quote.
Yeah. I love, like, that's my favorite part of, like,
me too.
Every ghost investigation.
It's so crazy.
I know.
Because it's just, so like, crazy. How, ah.
It's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
I want to do it. I want to get a spirit box.
We can get a spirit box.
Okay. I want to do it, like, I don't think I want to do it in my house.
No.
But I do wanna want just to just do it, like, around.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
Okay. This is just going to turn into us ghost
hunting. I know. And welcome to our ghost hunting podcast. This week.
It's just. Oh my God. That's what the spirit box sounds like.
Yeah, for that's people exactly who don't what it know. Sounds like.
It like runs through channels.
Radio
like,
frequency channels.
Yeah, super fast. So it's just like.
So when you hear like a word, it's like how. It's. Like, there's no way that you could hear that word unless it's being manipulated by something.
Yeah.
With energy.
Yeah. Though sometimes I feel like it does hook onto stations, like radio stations. Because mm-hmm. I've heard, like, full snippets of, like, a Taylor Swift song and you yeah. can tell.
Yeah.
That it's Taylor Swift, but
otherwise. But, like, something otherwise. Energy-wise is happening for yeah. it to do that.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be doing that on its own.
True.
Yeah. yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Do you want to learn about the hauntings?
Yes. Okay. Ugh, okay. Finally.
Always at the end.
Skip ahead, people. Skip all that section and now come
what?
To
it was
right
cool.
here. No, I know. I agree. Here is the hauntings.
So, guests have reported shadow figures, laughter, flickering lights, and objects moving on their own accord. Paranormal investigators claim the multitude of mirrors in the lobby staircase are responsible for the heightened activity in the hotel as they create a portal into the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. And many people have seen female apparitions walking into the hotel's lobby from this area.
Ooh. Mm.
Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Sam and Colby, Twin Paranormal, and more enthusiasts have stayed at the hotel to catch a glimpse of one of the many rumored ghosts, with room 217 being the main attraction.
Did more happen in that room? Is that why?
No.
It's so weird. Like, why?
Just that explosion.
But no one died, even.
I know.
It's so strange.
No one's died in the hotel.
What?
No one. I looked it up.
What the hell?
No one's died in that hotel.
Okay. It's just, like, yeah. a place that spirits like to go to.
Yeah. It's possible people have died, like, on the land.
Yeah, of course.
In the olden times or, like, when before the white colonizers came.
Yeah.
Or even, like, when they came and colonized the indigenous nations in the area.
True. True. But, and there's also, like, kind of their portal set up, too, I guess.
Yeah, so.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before we get into the rooms, there are a few common spirits or apparitions that people see and hear. One is kind of disputed. Some people are like, yeah, maybe. And then others are like, no, that's just like a folk tale.
Weird.
A girl named Lucy, who's a young woman that haunts the concert hall. She's often seen alongside cold drafts and flickering lights. It's said that she lived in the hotel's then-disheveled concert hall during some of its darkest days around the time it was being sold in the 90s.
Oh.
So when all the outer buildings were, like, the roofs were caving in and stuff.
Yeah.
Before they were refinished.
Yeah.
And she was found soon after it was bought in 1996, frozen to death in the concert hall.
Oh, wait. You just said people didn't die at the hotel. But they did.
That's not in the hotel.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
You mean like in, but like on the hotel grounds, people have
died. Well, some people say that she didn't exist. That's what I mean.
What?
Some people okay. are just like, that's a folk tale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like I could, like there's no like obituary or like.
Right.
You know, hmm. people were like, this happened.
Okay.
Because there's like this woman spirit that they see in the concert hall.
Yeah.
And they call her Lucy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The other common apparition that people see is, of course, Freeland Stanley, who is mm-hmm. often seen in the lobby and billiards room. His wife, Flora Stanley, also is seen in the ballroom, and people often hear the piano playing by Ooh. Itself and see the keys moving.
Wow.
And then when they step into the room, it stops. So she kind of maybe is a little stage fright.
She's a little shy.
Moving to the haunted rooms, we'll begin with the most famous, room 217. Guests in this room report their belongings being unpacked or lights turning on and off by themselves, leading them to believe that the old chambermaid, Elizabeth Wilson, who was injured in the 1911 gas explosion, still roams the hotel. And then this room became more famous when Stephen King stayed in it.
Yes.
And has since been a main place of investigation. Paranormal investigators. From a website called US Ghost Adventures, I found some interesting information about this room as well, about Elizabeth. Unmarried couples in this room report feeling pushed apart in the middle of the night. Probably because Elizabeth doesn't approve of them sleeping together unmarried.
That's really funny.
So she's like, absolutely not. Not happening.
Wow.
She's also known to take the luggage of single men and leave it outside of their door. I don't really know why.
Okay.
Yeah. And she like will unpack your bags for you.
Love
and
that.
Like tidy up your room for you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. It's said that while filming the 1994 movie Dumb and Dumber, which was filmed at the Stanley Hotel.
What? Wait, that's
Jim Carrey requested to stay in room 217. And 3 hours after checking in, he was seen running out of the room. But he's never spoken publicly about that event, ever.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe he did it for shits and giggles, or
right.
maybe he actually saw a ghost or something. But he's never talked about it.
That's really funny. Mm-hmm.
In the Twin Paranormal video with Colin from Paranormal Files, they rented room 217.
Mm-hmm.
When talking about Elizabeth, the REM pod goes off on the bed, and it goes off again when Ryan is talking about Stephen King and The Shining.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And so that I think they had like two REM pods or three, like one on each nightstand and then one on the bed. And they all kept going off throughout the night during like certain points. So every time Ryan mentioned Stephen King, it all of them went off at the same time.
Wait, Stephen King's dead?
No.
Oh.
But the ghosts are like, oh, we saw him. Oh. You know? Like, oh,
they're fangirling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna list some other things that happened in their video because I watched the whole thing and I was like, whoa. You know.
I think I've seen that one too, but it's been a while. I kinda wanna rewatch it.
They heard some knocking and disembodied voices as per usual. And the Spirit Talker app that they used said there's a curse. And right after, the REM cod went off for a whole minute and, like, didn't stop.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's
probably a curse on the land or something.
Probably. And then their spirit app said, I once lived here, and they think this might be Elizabeth.
Hmm.
Yeah, because she probably, like, lived in the hotel.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then at one point, when they're filming, Wyatt heard someone say hello through the door.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then Ryan asked if it was Elizabeth saying hello, and all of the devices went off at the same time again.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They also heard the spirit app say, hiding in the dark, two ladies here, little boy around you, I'll prove I'm here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
At some point when they're in the room, Ryan places a flashlight under the bed as the phone says hiding earlier. So they think that there's a child spirit in that room alongside Elizabeth.
A real child spirit?
Yeah. And they were like, are you hiding in the bed? And it was like, hiding.
Aw.
And it was like, little boy.
Aww.
Yeah. And so he placed a flashlight under the bed and it goes off a couple times. But I don't really like the flashlight stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like
it's not
just
accurate.
Just does it. Yeah. Like, it can, yes. But it also just does it randomly.
Yeah, it does it randomly, but when it's, like, super, when they're, like, 3, 2, 1, or when they have, like, immediate answers and it does it, then I'm more, and it's, like, quick back and forth, then I'm more likely to believe it, but yeah.
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 It's pretty crazy. So then, at some point, their spirit app says the attic, which is another, like, haunted room. So they begin talking about how the fourth floor used to be the attic and how employees used to not go up there. Like, they'd be too scared to go up there.
What?
And now there's rooms up there.
Oh, God.
On the fourth floor.
Oh, creepy.
Mm-hmm. And Colin says, what's waiting for us up there? And then the app says, shadow.
Ooh, yeah. I don't like that.
And then, so we'll talk about maybe a little bit about room 428, which is the attic. That's what it's been called, I guess. I don't really know.
Okay.
It's said to be home of a cowboy apparition named Jim, who appears by the bed or sitting in the corner watching guests as they sleep. Legend says
that
Jim was an infamous outlaw in the years before Colorado statehood and was known for his disfigured face from a grizzly bear fight.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Okay.
During the Twin Paranormal video, Colin sees a shadow move across one of the lights from the REM pods.
Whoa.
While they're in the room. And at one point, Ryan's front half of his body is cold, like ice cold, and then his backside is like hot, like someone's pressing against him.
Ooh, creepy.
I know.
Why the ghosts be doing that weird stuff?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's trying to get into him. It's an attachment, probably.
While they're in this room, they continuously hear knocking or footsteps around them, and then randomly at the same time, Ryan, Colin, and Wyatt's backs all started hurting.
Weird.
They were like, we need to, like, get out of here, like, and River was fine.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. While they're in this room, they do the Estes method, and I forget, Ryan was under for it, and he was saying things like, I see you, I'm here, summoned here.
Oh.
Yeah, very creepy things like that.
Oh, no.
And then Colin asks why the spirit is there. And Ryan says, corner by the phone.
Like, wait, why?
Yeah, Colin's like, why are you here? And then the ghost was like, I'm in the corner by the phone.
I didn't ask you where you were. I asked you why you were here.
And then,
creepy.
And then the device by the phone goes off.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And then Ryan says, it's me.
Whoa. Yeah. That's so crazy. That's so just like, yeah. On the money.
And then they hear a bunch of knocking in the closet, like tapping.
Oh, I
And Ryan says, I'm hiding.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And Colin asks if the spirit can open the door. And Ryan says, I open it. But then Colin opens it. And then he's like, oh, the closet is way colder than the rest of the room.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it kind of gets a little bit more dark and spooky after this with mentions of the devil and the explosion that happened in room 217.
Interesting.
So I didn't really want to talk about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's kind of what happened in the Twin Paranormal video.
Hmm.
They, like, got quite a bit.
Yeah, they usually do.
Yeah, I love them.
Me too.
So that was room 217 and room 428. There are some other rooms in the Stanley that have more reported activity than others. And they are room 401, which is thought to be haunted by an unfriendly male spirit who has inappropriately touched women while they stand near the closet.
Okay, rude.
And one guest reported that his wedding ring fell from the bathroom counter down the sink's drain while he was in that room. Like, he watched it, like, fall from the counter.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Room 407 is another haunted room in which guests encounter a mischievous man who's plays pranks on them, such as tugging at the blankets and moving items in the room, which I hate.
Yes.
And it's said to be Lord Dunraven, who, quote, owned, unquote, the land before Freeland Stanley owned it.
Hmm.
And then the last reported super haunted room is room 418, which I guess receives the most accounts of children spirits. So workers at the hotel have seen impressions on the bed while the room is empty.
Ugh.
Like someone sitting on it.
Yeah.
And guests in the room report hearing children playing in the hallway at night when there's no one there. Which I think is really fucking creepy.
Creepy! That's so creepy.
Yeah. So those are all the rooms, the haunted rooms of the Stanley.
Hmm.
Another cool fact about this hotel is that there's a large cave system under it.
What?
That was used by staff in the early days of the hotel.
What?
Because it was unprofessional for them to be seen by guests.
I did not know that. That's crazy. So they would just,
like...
Well, I knew that they weren't allowed to be seen, but that's so crazy.
So they would just go, like, room from room or, like, kitchen to wherever in this cave system.
Wow.
And...
That's very It went
between
creepy.
Rooms, the bar, the restaurant, and the laundry area.
Hmm.
And it's said that the ghost of a pastry chef haunts the caves.
Vibes.
As people often experience the scent of baked goods when they're on a tour down there. And many people believe that ghosts still roam the cave system, making their way from room to room.
Wow.
Come and scare you.
No! But they can just go through the walls.
Can they? We don't know that.
Well, there's people always talk about seeing them in the walls.
Oh, that's actually true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's this one Twin Paranormal video where they're in a house and Ryan, like, pokes his head into a hallway from one of the rooms to take a picture. And he sees someone head poke out of the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the one that you're talking about.
I'm gonna
cry. A creepy one.
Yeah, that one's really scary. That's
really scary. Yeah.
With such a long and remarkable history and situated in the Colorado Mountains, the Stanley Hotel has been through a lot of change, which can propel paranormal activity. So it's no wonder that the spirits of years past choose to haunt the building and land despite no reported deaths occurring in the hotel itself. If you're ever in the Colorado area, I suggest you check out Estes Park and the Stanley Hotel. Maybe you'll get lucky and meet Freeland Stanley himself. Or maybe you'll encounter Elizabeth Wilson tidying your room for you. And that's my story.
Wow, I love it.
Yay.
That's great.
Thank you.
I'm glad you did the Stanley Hotel. That's a thick boy.
Yeah, it was super fun to do that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening.
Yes.
And we will see you
next time.
Bye. Bye. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or corrections, you can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com. If you have your own story to send us, you can send it on over there. You can follow us on Instagram or send us a DM. Come say hello. Send us your stories at Ghoul Society Pod.
All of the episode's resources and trigger warnings are in each episode's show notes.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
And that's it. And thanks. Bye. Love you. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Today, we're going to the place where a lot of people's nightmares stem from.
Too close.
And where the... I quit.
No, Sarah, come back. You just have to hear yourself and decide.
You know, I can just change the volume.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I do that.
Okay, but if it changes throughout, then it's harder.
That literally is every episode.
Okay. You just do your thing. You do you. I don't care anymore.
Well, it's too late now because I was halfway through my sentence and you rudely interrupted me. So now you don't get that sentence.
No! Start over. 3, 2, 1, go.